has gotten to the point where, like you said, the core of the institution has experienced some rot. When we are talking about brand management, as you know, if there are a few cancers in the brand, you can pluck out those cancers and you can maintain the overall brand. I think that it has gotten to the point now where, you know, the brand is too far damaged. We have to just close the institution and start again. Now, there are two units, right? There is the boys' unit and the girls' unit. I think the boys' unit can be salvaged. Work can be done around it. One of the major issues that I would have highlighted up and down Barbados, the only thing I didn't do is run down Broad Street naked and shout it in the streets, is that we are running two institutions for juveniles at two opposite ends of the island. And we do two of everything for the institution. So because it's a government institution and it's offering food, we have to have a commercial-sized kitchen. We have a commercial-sized kitchen that's feeding 12 children in St. Philip. We have a commercial-sized kitchen that's feeding 12 children in St. Lucie. And so the operational cost of delivering right. this juvenile justice service is double, in my opinion, what it needs to be. You also have two very separate curricula at the school, because whereas the boys can be seen as more central and people are willing to go in and do things like, you know, music classes with them and that kind of thing, the girls do not right. benefit from any of that at all. There are some resources that are provided for at the St. Philip location, not provided for at the St. Lucie location at all. So
I see.
Because of things like that, I have said the girls' unit needs to be closed. The other reason it needs to be closed is because there is no criminal offender in the girls' unit as of today. So when I say that, there's no child who is there because they committed murder. There's no child who is there because they've drawn blood from another human being. It is pretty much a place where we are housing girls in need of care and support. There are other institutions in Barbados where we can house children who need care and support. But there All right. are also largely in the cases there now, these children can be reintegrated into their community and homes. And the cost saving that we get from closing the girls' facility, we can then use to hire staff to work with the girls. So if you have
Marcia,
go ahead.
If I may interject here, we have on the line Faith Marshall Harris, whom you must have rubbed shoulders with in this area. I'm sure you're familiar with Faith Marshall Harris. I think I lost somebody there. Hello? You're trying to hook up Faith Marshall Harris, who I think is UN ambassador for the rights of the child in Barbados or the Caribbean, and to see if she could interact with Marshall's lane. But I think we had a drop out of calls there, and hopefully we get it back in a minute. Meanwhile, Marshall, you hear me? I think that we have a long way to go in this story. This story is still unfolding, and I look forward to the ministry, the minister, the board coming and at some time soon to try to seek to calm the nerves of the country and the difficult nature. That hello. Now we go to the phones again. Brass Tacks, hello, Faith. Marcia? Hello? Faith Marshall Harris? Hello? I think we lost that call again. Oh, no. So, hello? Hello, you there? I think we lost that one again, Dennis. Keep trying. I said we look forward to this thing being handled properly and seek to let the rest of the country know that this is not what we were settled for. I'm sure that this is not what people want or expect, and therefore the sooner we can put this to rest and show that we've improved the situation and the condition for the persons who are supposed to be beneficiaries of the institution and its good work. Let make sure the good work is not only on paper, but Brass Tacks, are
Hello.
You there?
Yes, Hello? I'm here.
Yes, I...
Can you hear me?
Yeah, Mrs. Marshall Harris. Yeah, you were listening to the discussion with Marshall Hines-Lane?
Yes, I was listening to it, and in fact, have been deeply involved in trying to write an article about the same matter, but I paused my writing to support some of what she's saying, and also to give a bit of background. Well, she's acquitted herself quite adequately in this matter so far, but I just to put it also in another context, and that is that our troubles in terms of child justice are rooted in the fact that for all these years, we continue to be governed by laws that are really antiquated, going back to the 1920s and 30s, and as a result has not kept pace with, in fact, the things that we have agreed to. Barbados agreed to and ratified a Convention on Rights of the Child, as you know, which sets out the principles for child justice, and they set out those principles not only in the articles themselves, but then they went on to make specific guidelines, you know, in other words, breaking down that, apart from just broad principles. We then, United Nations, various General Assemblies have ratified specific guidelines and rules for dealing with any juvenile that should come into the juvenile system. You know, recognizing that juveniles, or I don't like to use juveniles, children, minors, differ from adults in terms of their physical and psychological development, and therefore you have to have special rules to deal with them. And we have ascribed all these years to those rules, the Beijing rules, the Havana rules, the RIA guidelines, but we have unfortunately only been paying lip service to them, really, because we have not gone forward and incorporated, as we promised, any of this into our domestic legislation. And
you said any?
Well, I suppose what we've had is some individual tweakings, but at the end of the day, our overall legislative framework to deal with children, both as in terms of protection or as juvenile justice, have not had that major passage of legislation, which was required to bring all those principles into force.
Right.
So that people have, over the time, tried their best to make informal amendments, but in point of fact, at the end of the day, there was no law governing and enforcing these rights in terms of child justice. Now, this is not a political matter, and this is what I want to emphasize, because too often in Barbados, we start to get political with these issues. Neither administration can actually boast or assume any moral authority in advancing the rights of children, insofar as that neither administration has got around to making those very important rules into law. And I would, with this one caveat, this particular administration may have had a bit of misfortune in the sense that just as they were about to do the right thing in 2019, pandemic intervened, and I think, well, to give them the benefit of the doubt and be charitable, their eyes were taken off the ball.
Understandably so. Right.
Pardon?
That's understandable.
Right. So what happened is that, and the only thing that sort of hurts is that in 2013, we, with the help of UNICEF, did this review of the laws with the process with the intention of getting all this on the law books. Although that was late, mind you, 2013 is late when you consider that your laws went back to the 1930s. But nevertheless, there was an attempt, but it never came to Parliament. And that I literally wept the day I realized that it would not get to Parliament before we had a change of administration. And I'm not over it. I literally wept at the thought that we got no further in 2018. However, the attempt was being made for a child justice bill, and somehow we have not got it there yet. And as I said, the only thing I can say, given the benefit, is pandemic intervene. And right now, we are also now working on a child protection bill that will go hand in hand with it. And I am using this forum to hold people's feet to the fire and say, it better come now, because the public is aware that all of that is there to be done. But let's only talk about legislation. One of the things that is common to all the principles that have been outlined that we agreed to. I like that. And we voluntarily agreed to, by the way. Nobody forced it down our throats, with the United Nations and all the other nations around the world. And by the way, there are 200 nations who have subscribed to this. Was that A, no child will ever suffer solitary confinement.
What?
Two, hello?
What? Solitary confinement?
Yes. Okay. One of the things that we have agreed to is that we'll never subject the child to solitary confinement. Two, that all the that the deprivation of liberty that is putting the child in an institution would be a last resort. It would only be resorted to if all other means failed. In other words, we should be looking at alternatives before we even get there. Diversion, okay. Probation, care orders. That is something right. We agreed to.
Yes. Brass Tacks?
Hello.
Hello. Are you there, ladies? Welcome back to Brass. Listeners, we have on the line with us. This is a very... It's quite interesting. This is the first time I've ever had any encounter with two ladies with double barrel names. Faith Marshall Harris, double barrel surname, and Marsha Hines Lane. That caught my eye and ear. That's something interesting and special. We've heard a lot of things said, and basically, Marsha Hines Lane and Faith Marshall Harris are coming from the same perspective, that a lot needs to be done to redress the situation, the imbalances, the disquiet nature, the inequalities, the dysfunctions, or whatever. But what path do you see us taking it forward to bring those kind of resolutions that you're looking for? Do you think that the problem in the past has been indifference, lack of urgency, no follow through? What do you think has brought us to this sorry pass?
Let me say that I find generally, and this may be an indictment of our national character, that matters involving children seem very rapidly to take the back burner. I would not wish to be so uncharitable to suggest that it's possible because children don't vote, but it sometimes bothers me that may be a consideration. However, getting past that, I would wish us to start to recognize that matters involving children are very crucial, actually, to the health of the nation and the future of the nation, because then, you know, we are not doing enough to make sure that the next generation of leaders are properly equipped. Having said that, let us deal now with the here and now and this particular case. I do not know all the facts, and I am going to be the first to tell you, given my own career, that I am going to treat a lot of this as allegations, okay? I would wish, and I know that there has been some evidence in place, and I'm going to say that in terms of all the matters dealing with GIS, where I see a lot of corroboration is that since 2015, I personally have been involved in question marks over treatment of juveniles at GIS, specifically at Barrow St. Lucie and some at Dodds. And in fact, Barrow St. Lucie has, of course, surfaced far more in recent years. So some corroboration exists in that you've had reports from former wards, parents of wards, some officers there, former officers there. In fact, there has been a repeated storyline about some of what happens there. So there is that corroborative evidence. However, in the instant case, I'm going to still treat them as allegations. Hello?
No, I said fair enough. That's expected, right?
And in this instance, what it worried me in the bits of allegations I've heard is, one, where she should be and not at a reform school, because the competent authorities at the psychiatric hospital. Secondly, because I say the rule against solitary confinement, if indeed she was at solitary confinement, why was she in solitary confinement? One of the rules that we have ascribed to is that the children, juveniles who are seen to be running afoul of the law should always be housed in decent accommodation, which provides for their dignity and privacy. That is that they ought not to be exposed in any way that is not consistent with human dignity. As I said, there are what we call minimum rules for the standard of care of prisoners generally, and then specifically juveniles, which, if the allegations are true, this would fall short of. Secondly, I understand it was an issue of diet. Another one of the rules that apply is that the diet given to those juveniles deprived of liberty must be tasteful, wholesome, and fit for consumption. That is that they, and oh, and let me point out too that according to the rules, all of these things like accommodation, food, what activities are engaged upon, are supposed, according to rules, to be subject to continual review by competent inspection. Inspections, in fact, they specify that should be unannounced. That's an important point. And so, therefore, I'm saying that our way forward here is to look back at the rules that, although there's international rules that we have not yet incorporated, look back at them and make sure that step by step we are compliant. Ask ourselves questions. There should be that investigation which asks a series of questions, which I am in the process of writing out and I'm putting in the public domain. Ask the questions.
Elaine, if I could just jump in.
Yeah, Marsha, I was going to
jump in here.
Right.
Of course, different people bring different perspectives to this. And my substantive training, I think, as everybody knows, is an advocate who works with women and girls specifically affected by intimate partner abuse and sexual abuse. My orientation is not to start by not believing when somebody comes to me and says, this has happened to me. I, however, agree that we need to find the evidence to do the investigation, so on and so forth. I am comfortable that I have done enough at my level. I can provide veracity for any of the claims that I am making. But one of the questions that I want to put on the table now, how do we get to the bottom of what is happening in the absence of a functioning camera system at the girls' unit at the government industrial school, which is another issue that the board has expressed concern at over and over and over. At the boys' unit, there is a completely functional camera system. I can stand up in the control room at the boys' school and I can see any point of that school, the ones within reason, of course, because there are points of it, for obvious reasons, you wouldn't put on a camera system, but the ones that are within reason, I can see any point of that school. Not a single camera functions at the girls' school. Now, when I hear things like that, that raises red flags in my head. So how do we get to the truth? How do we get to it?
One of the points that I just want to make is that I am not suggesting for one moment that the girls are not to be believed, because as I pointed out, I've been involved in this has been said over and over again, to my knowledge, for the last 6 years. So that is the corroboration there that not all of these people could be making this up, because, in fact, as I said, previous wars have repeatedly said the same things have happened to them. But I'm also saying that because of you have to understand that my persuasion tells me that whenever you're dealing with every present case, you have to start off from a position that not all of what you hear may be exactly as happened. So sometimes you've got to make sure, well, as I said, I've been on the bench, so that's how we take it. The thing is that you've got to start from a position where obviously a lot has gone wrong, but you've got to make sure that every detail that you've heard is corroborated and that there's ample evidence for it. So that's all.
But we're not at cross purposes. But the genuine question I'm asking is, in the absence of the camera system, how are we going to get that? I haven't heard, we're doing an investigation. Nobody has said by Monday there will be a camera system installed. Nobody has said by next Thursday a camera system will be installed. I am all for getting the evidence. But my question is, in the absence of the mechanisms being in place to get it, how do we get it?
I agree with you that a camera system will work. Sorry.
I want to ask Marsha, were you ever given any reason at the board level as to the disparity between the treatment of the cameras with the boys and not, why was none for the girls? How was that justified or rationalized or whatever? How was that explained?
It was just said that the camera system at the girls' school became obsolete and it was left like that. There was money that was allocated for windows at the school to be fixed. The board expressed the concern that the money should really be diverted to deal with the cameras first as an urgency. That never happened. So,
but you said that the GIS had been a recipient of very generous donations of cash.
Very generous
from
donations. Absolutely.
Why?
Because the appeal was never made. That's why we never got the cameras, because the appeal was never made. It was more about the lack of will to secure a camera system, in my personal opinion, than the ability to do it. Because,
who would make the request? The board or the ministry or whatever?
Say that again.
Who would make the request for the camera for the girls' school?
Who made the request to the ministry hearing? Sorry, Glenn.
No, I'm saying procedurally. If the board decided that it wanted to get cameras for the girls' school, who was the one who would initiate the action? Would it be the board or the ministry altogether or what?
I see. So what happens is that the board would, we were supposed to be communicating with the minister and the PS. More so the minister, because like I said, the board is a creature of a minister. So we would have expressed the concerns about the camera system, about the lack of a camera system. I can even go as far as to tell you that the former minister did order, if you could put it that way, that a camera system and treating to getting one should be an urgency. And yet still, here we are.
All right.
So in the absence of that, how do we get the evidence now? How do we get the evidence?
Could I just suggest that I think that, yes, a camera system should be in play, but I think that once, and by the way, the rules also treat to this, that every officer in a juvenile facility is under a duty to report anything that is inimical to the interests of the juvenile. And in fact, if you scrutinize those rules, which is something we want to get to, those officers are protected by that provision. And that's why we like to see it into law, that they're protected. They are supposed not to put up with any abuse within the institution and not report it. They're under that duty within those rules that I outlined earlier. And I'm also going on to suggest to you, which is one point I just want to get across, that I've heard a question of breaching the rights of the child in terms of her privacy when a photograph was allegedly taken and so on. Let me explain that rights have to be balanced sometimes. And one of the rights that a child has that trumps all other rights is the rights for the best interest of the child to be observed and made a primary concern at all times. So if you have a situation where, in the best interest of a child, something has to be dealt with, then we're going to have to take that as our guiding rule. And I would contend that if a child is being abused in a particular situation, then that child's best interest is what would prevail. I would
Who determines best interest?
Well, the best interest is determined by a court of law, by authorities, but every individual, you know, within your heart of hearts, every individual who is a parent of a child has a sense of what's in the best interest of your child. That is something adults ought to have internalized. What is best for that child? I mean, the final arbiter, obviously, is a court of law, but you yourself can use your own reasoning there. My point is that in this case, I am still a little confused as what privacy was violated, because I don't know if the general public still knows who this child is, where this child looks like, what the child looks like, you know, where they live.
And there's no picture in the public domain.
Right. So this is why I'm not so sure why there is a privacy angle. But I am saying, and I'm arguing like a traditional lawyer, even if there was, I am saying that the best interest of a child must prevail if you're going to protect that child from what to me is far more damaging, and that is abuse. Hello?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes, ladies, I think we've had an excellent run to this, and I'd like to, if you could just make some quick parting comments so we can get back to the phones and see what will happen of the program hereafter. Marshall, is there anything you'd like to say before we wrap up this segment of the show? Marshall?
I'm sorry. Really what it is for me, Glenn, it is time for us to walk and chew gum at the same time. If the government is making a commitment to the people of Barbados that we're moving forward with all of this reform, then we cannot continue to have the children who are in the system now and their needs not paid attention to. So in addition to what work will happen over the next couple of weeks and months to rectify the antiquities in the law and so on and so forth, we also have to be very clear about how we are going to protect the children in the system now. I think that because the minister has found enough, I don't know how you want to put it, evidence, concern to launch an investigation, that he immediately needs to either use his power under the Act, point 38, to conditionally or fully pardon this child, or at least to transfer her to another facility where her safety can be safeguarded until this particular issue is fully investigated and the investigation shows what has to happen moving forward.
Thank you. Faith, is there anything you'd like to say, or you've wrapped it up so far?
No, I just want to say that I think the future lies with two things. At the macro level, we are working on the legislation that is going to heal a lot of these wounds. However, that cannot stand on its own, and that is why we need to have the in-depth investigation in the existing structures, and if need be, reimagine, reinvent them along the lines of that they should have been in accordance with the things that we have actually ratified and agreed to, and bring it into the 21st century.
Thank you very much. I want to thank both of you ladies for devoting so much of your time. I know these are passionate interests of yours, and to you it's no sacrifice, but I want to thank you very much for making further contribution. Feel free to make your contribution again in the future, whether it's me or anybody else on here. And I want to thank you very much. Marsha, thank you.
Thank you.
Faith, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is Brass Tacks.